Welcome to The Father's Heart with Tom Clark, better known as Papa Tom.
Good morning. This is Papa Tom at The Father's Heart Talk Show. And the subject I'd like to bring up today is the subject of children and childlikeness. It's been something that's been dear to my heart, and I know it's dear to the heart of God the Father when he's talking about the subject of children. It's an interesting thing about life. The older you get, the more you learn certain things, and I think it's important for the show to communicate things. It's the Father's Heart Talk Show, and our mission statement is to bring the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the land with a curse, which is fatherlessness. In that regard, I really want to focus today not on fatherlessness, but on children and being childlike. The scripture clearly tells us, unless you become like a child again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's an interesting way of presenting a truth. When I think about these things, and I think about the things that God's saying, I remember one of the scriptures is, and Jesus called, actually was in response to a question he was being asked. One of his disciples asked the question. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are transformed or changed and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. There's a lot of truth impacted in that statement, and it really shows the heart of God the Father towards children, and not just children like the little ones, but even the adults whom God considers his children. It's the perception of that father-child relationship that God wants to have with us. He enjoys having with us. And what piqued my curiosity this past week was I had a conversation with an old friend of mine who was an educator, a woman. We knew each other since we were 10 years old, so that brings us back like 62 years, if you want to know what my age is. And I hadn't talked to her in about three decades. And she was a teacher all her life for most of 50 years in her career. And she became a principal of an all-girls school. It's a Catholic school in Memphis, Tennessee, actually Germantown, which is a suburb of Memphis, St. Agnes Academy. And this old friend of mine, in a conversation I had with her about an hour, and the conversation focused on children because she was an educator of children from kindergarten, actually first grade through the 12th grade. And when I asked her, I said, Kathy, that was her first name, I said, what do you miss about retirement and leaving the position of being an educator? And she says, the things that I miss are the things that children express out of their hearts. And she gave me a couple of examples, stories that she said that just, she marveled at the truth that children were saying. How they would express themselves in such a way because they're so innocent and so transparent, they don't hide anything. If you ever look at a child's face, the muscles of the face haven't been developed to hide anything. Whatever they're feeling, you could see it immediately on their face, facial expressions. This is not true to adults. As we've grown older, we've learned to hide our feelings. We've learned how not to be transparent. We've learned to do things that hide create a lack of transparency. It's interesting how evil tries to function in dark places, but children don't. Children like to be in the light. Children are very open, very clear, very transparent and innocent in their expressions and the way they express themselves, and they're really taught not to be childlike. Adults are child not to be childlike. To their detriment or to their fault, to their to the detriment of them achieving their calling and destiny in life. Let me put it in those terms. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I really see evil and trying to stop us from reaching our calling and destiny. And children are on track to reach their calling and destiny, but they get sidetracked off of that by hiding themselves, hiding their thoughts and feelings. This person I was speaking to mentioned to me, again, she's coming from a Catholic background, and so she's supposed to be in a Catholic school. One of the young children were talking about the Stations of the Cross. Now, if you're not Catholic, you won't know what that means. It's basically, in the Catholic Church, there were places, often in stained glass windows, where there were places during the crucifixion where Jesus stopped, and it would one of the stations would be he fell the first time, he fell the second time. He met Simon, who picked up his cross. That was another station. So there was events and sequences from the time that he was crucified, or before he was crucified, I should say, on the way, Via Dolorosa, I believe they call it. The Via Dolorosa is the pathway to the crucifixion. And there were different moments in time when it says in the scripture that events happened to Jesus on the way to Golgotha. And on the way, these things happened. Those events that happened, as described by scripture, were captured in the Catholic Church. It's one of the revelations, I believe, of Catholicism, that they spent a lot of time focusing on the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's a good revelation that denomination has. In any case, the child was looking at the Stations of the Cross, of these events on the way to Golgotha, and the child said, to my friend, she said, it really shows how much Jesus loved us. And it was his last statement of how much he loves us by showing us the Stations of the Cross. And it took my friend, the principal of the school, back, that a child would perceive it that way. And that's just one example of hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of childlike innocence where they see things through a filter, or in some cases their filter is not contaminated by views of other people or concepts that are designed to create obfuscation, if I might call that, in their worldview. It was a statement that I picked up at Barnes & Noble also that I think is appropriate to understanding stories. And it says, fiction reveals truth that reality obscures. A lot of times we teach children reality, or what we think is reality, and what we're doing is we're giving them a narrative. And the narrative we're communicating to them, we actually obscure the truth. The scripture is completely true, yet we create narratives off the scripture that actually obfuscate what the truth actually is, sadly. In any case, let's get back to the point of childlikeness and the way children perceive reality. Sometimes it's been said that children are very good observers of reality, but not necessarily good interpreters of reality. So the scripture is one of the filters, or is the filter, I should say, the one and only filter that gives us the truth, and that should be the filter through which we look at reality. I really understand God's heart about children, and the way he appreciates about children and childlikeness is because children believe. It's interesting how children can very easily believe what adults have difficulty believing. Their innocence and their openness to believe what is true is commendable, whereas the adults lack that quality. I'll give you an example of something along those lines, because we tend to be very scientific in what we want to believe, and we don't look like we're foolish in believing something that may appear to other people as being foolish. But a child, in their innocence, they're not trying to see themselves that way. There's the lines of communication up to spiritual things are uncluttered. And that allows that faith to really communicate between the child's spirit and God's spirit. Because Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, you're not going to worship God anymore on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what children have. They have an open spirit to God, and he can communicate to them in that open spirit. And that's part of being what's childlike that God wants to have with us when we're an adult. So if you give an example of one of those childlike things or things that gets in the way in terms of science, in terms of factual information that might interfere, if you might remember the story of Thomas, when Jesus first appeared to the apostles, and Thomas was not there, and he showed them his body, and it had holes in his hands, which may be actually his physical hands, it may actually be on his wrist, and a hole in the side, and he appeared to the 11 apostles, actually 10 of them, I guess, at that time, because Thomas wasn't there, and neither was Judas. So he appeared to them, and then afterwards, Thomas showed up, and the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord," and Thomas didn't believe. He didn't have that childlike faith. He didn't believe. He said to the other disciples, he says, "Unless I put my fingers in the holes in his hands, and unless I put my fist into his side, I shall not believe." A week later, guess who shows up? Jesus shows up, and Thomas is there. And obviously, Jesus heard the conversation coming from Thomas's unchildlike faith, and he said to Thomas, "Take your finger and put it in my hand, and take your fist and put it into my side." And Thomas drops to his knees and says, "My Lord and my God," because he realized that he didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus has rose from the dead until he scientifically proved it by putting his hand. I don't think against Thomas. He's kind of like scientific, like many of us adults, but he wasn't showing childlike faith. And you see what happened in that circumstance where Jesus said to him, "Blessed are those," Thomas, he says, you've seen, and you've seen me with the holes in my hands and in the side, but blessed are those who believe that have not seen me like this. They weren't able to prove it out with their five senses. That faith is childlike faith. That's what God wants to have us in adults, is to have that quality of faith that you believe when you don't see. That's the heart and essence of childlikeness that God the Father appreciates. We're here with the Father's Heart Talk Show, and I have a question to ask my audience, which I'm going to answer, so it's a rhetorical question. The question is, why is Satan so focused on going after our children? What's so important about children that they're so important to Satan to go after them and capture them? And my answer to that, as far as I can understand the scripture, is if he could steal the children's hearts, he can steal the future. The future of any generation is in the children. And so he's focused in his mind about going after our children. He's done it in our society here in America, mostly that I can see is through the education system, but not just the education system. He's going after the education system and as well as the mainstream media. And that's one of the reasons why God brought me on to media, to do battle against the prince of the power of the air, the Medes. The media, from which we get the word media. This is the Air Force. This is the Air Force in the kingdom of God. And this is one of the reasons why I believe God's telling me to talk about the children, because they're so close to the heart of God. And because the enemy, Satan, knows how close children are to the heart of God, and he wants to hurt God in any way he can, he goes after the children. Obviously, he can't hurt God, so he takes the next best thing, the soft targets. One of the softest targets in the world, they are the children. This is one of the reasons why even things like abortion is such a main issue for the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. Abortion, and people don't want to look at it that way, as if they're killing or murdering children, but they are, and they're sacrificing to Satan. That's the way it, that's the truth. They may not like it, but that's the truth. So I want to address another issue, and that is that when God told us, after he created the man and the woman to be fruitful and multiply, he wanted to populate the earth. Satan wants to depopulate the earth. So you have good versus evil, God versus Satan. God wants to populate the earth. Satan wants to depopulate the earth. So how does he really go about doing that? Well, the interesting description of God is that he's creator. The first thing it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he describes himself in Genesis 1:1 as creator. The first thing we know about Satan is he's described as a thief that came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's interesting that the description, the Bible doesn't mince words, starts with steal, not to kill. I would have thought it would be to kill first, but not to kill, it's to steal. So what's he going to steal? And one of the things that struck my mind as I read the scripture is the first thing that he wants to steal is to steal our calling and destiny. And he is most successful at stealing our calling and destiny if he starts when we're children. And that is the way it is, and that's the way we as people of this world that want to protect the future, want to protect our children, we want to protect them as early as possible, and we don't want to submit them to government schools that are teaching them critical race theory and racism and white man's privilege and all these different theories that come up are designed to create narratives that will divide us as human beings. And this is what they're trying to do to our children and get into their minds, get into their heads. This is in the theater of the mind, starts early on in life. Why is it that the government wants to take the responsibility of raising children away from the parents and give it to the government? How does that line up with Scripture? Completely against Scripture. The responsibility of raising children belongs to parents. You know, in my career, I had opportunity to counsel a lot of families with their retirement planning and things like that as a financial planner. And I encountered a number of couples that didn't have any children. And when I got into a close conversation with them, they were very, very sad because they couldn't have children. These were couples north of age 60, 65 years old and older, were planning for their retirement, were doing their estate planning. Well, estate planning is a little bit different when you don't have any legacy, when you don't have children and grandchildren to leave it to. Nonetheless, in part of those conversations, the desire on the woman's part to have children was acute. It was really, really something that had bothered them all their life. It was a very, very sensitive issue. Some people just can't have kids. It's the way it is. Some people are born with bodies that can't have kids. Sadly, there's other people who have actually hurt their reproductive organs in some way and through some act that they committed. And through those acts that they committed, they were not able to have children post those occurrences. And that even saddened them even more. Our birth rate is declining. It's been declining for many years in Europe and is declining here in the West, in the United States. Other parts of the world, it's not, thankfully, but in the United States and Europe, it is. The narrative that keeps coming down to our children is not that. They say the young, less people are getting married, less and less people are having sex, believe that or not. Statistics that I've been reading indicates that more and more people, when they get to be college age and after college, are living with their parents. They're not getting married. Sexual activity is declining. Birth rate's declining. This is all not very healthy. This is not the way God designed it. God designed it for us to be fruitful and multiply. That's what he wanted us to do. Not that everybody can do that, but if you can, that's right in his mindset. My personal recollection of that is I'm the oldest of 8 children, and my mother was pregnant 12 times in the first 18 years of her marriage. So I always saw my mother pregnant. She was always pregnant. Either having a baby or she had 4 miscarriages, but it seemed like she was pregnant all the time. In fact, my mother had so many children that after she had the 8 children, when she started to get pregnant, I knew it was a sign because my mother and father would go out bowling. And I'd say, why are you guys going bowling? Because I was a teenager by that time. I said, I know why you're bowling. You know, she's trying to lose a child having bowling. My parents, as raised in the Catholic world, would never have an abortion. But, you know, miscarriage is okay after you had 8 kids. She had miscarriages before you had the 8 kids. Now she had so many, she wasn't so sure she wanted them. But those kids keep coming out, baby. They would come out stronger than ever. I think the bowling actually strengthened her ability in her body to have more children. So that didn't work very well. But the point is, that in the heart of God, it's the heart of God that we will populate the earth, that we'll have children, that we'll raise the children up to have a connection with God the Father, which is also not happening in as many cases as it probably should be. And it's something that I really wanted to focus on. The point is, a lot of things that are happening in this world are trying to rob children of their childlike experiences. The things that's happening with video games and the things that happen with children's life experiences now, they're not out in nature. They're not playing sports. They're not doing things with other children where there's the human connection element. They're connecting with their cell phones. They're connecting with technology, but they're not connecting human being to human being. And those interconnectedness are declining as opposed to increasing. In the heart of God, he wants us to have FaceTime with each other. He wants to put the cell phone down when you're having dinner. He wants us to be able to talk and communicate as human being to human being and have the children participate in that. One of the things in our family that grew up that I thought was important with our 6 children, because I said I came from a family of 8, and I was the oldest of 8, but in my family, my children were 6, I had 15 grandchildren. I made it a point at dinner time that we'd have dinner together and that each child had an opportunity to pray over the food. I, as the father, I had the main responsibility, but that responsibility was extended to children to pray among the food table. An interesting consequence of that is that every one of my children is willing to be outspoken and to speak, and they speak very well. And I believe it all started around the dinner table when they were little, when they learned how to pray. And the purpose of the prayer, by the way, was not a rote prayer. Every prayer had to be thought for a second. They had to pause and think, how should I pray for this dinner? And every dinner had a little different angle to it, a little different words we used in the prayer. And so there was something that the children put into it that was a blessing over the food. We now currently do this actually on Friday nights for a Sabbath dinner, a Shabbat dinner, which is part of the Word of God, and some people that have glossed over and they don't realize the benefits of those things. But getting back to children again and how important it is to have a childlike perspective, an innocence. In a lot of the studying that I've done, I've realized much of evil wants to operate in the darkness. Children want to operate in the light. In fact, Scripture calls us children of light. We have the light, we have the knowledge, we have the truth, where darkness tries to hide. I do believe that elite societies around the world operate in secret societies. We've heard of the terms like Illuminati and Freemasons, and whether you believe them or not, there's something factual about those societies that they're secret. Well, why are they secret? They're not in the light. They're in the darkness. There's a reason why they want to be in the darkness. And don't make any bones about it. Those societies and evil, as it operates for power, wants to go after our children. And God will do everything he can to stop them, but he does it through us. We are the agents of God's goodness on the earth. And to be good on this earth, we need to be good to the children, which starts with not aborting them to begin with. And secondly, is to connect them to the heart of God the Father. If they can connect to the heart of God the Father, they'll find their call and destiny, which Satan is so viciously trying to steal from them. Remember, he's trying to steal our calling and destiny, whether we're older adults or whether we started, we're 3, 4, 5 years old. He starts very young to steal their calling and destiny. But God has a different plan for them. Each one of us has a plan in his mind, his plan for us. And by maintaining childlikeness, we can maintain that connection, that faith connection to God the Father, and believe him. Don't believe what other people tell you, but always believe what God the Father tells you. And in order to believe what God the Father tells you, you must believe that he exists and that he'll talk to you. And he does exist, and he will talk to you. Just open your heart to him. The connection to him that we have through Scripture is that Jesus takes our hand. That's what salvation or transformation is, to be connected to the heart of God the Father. Talk to you later, Papa Tom.